you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Here's hoping you had a happy 4th of July. And we also hope you keep having fun throughout the rest of the weekend. And in that regard, we'll do our best to help out here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. We're going to have some good ideas for good eats. And we'll talk about a lot of other stuff, too. You know, stuff that has nothing to do with food or cooking or, worst of all, cleaning up. In fact, let's start the show by talking about the holiday itself, because I always get a little frustrated when folks misunderstand what the 4th of July is all about. I'll give you a good example. People will say things like, "Happy 4th of July. Thank a veteran." Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a veteran, and I always appreciate when somebody thanks me for my service to my country, even if it was just a measly little 2 years I spent in the U.S. Army. But thanking veterans is for Veterans Day. That's in November. People even do that on Memorial Day, but that's wrong too. Memorial Day is to remember people who were killed in combat, not the lucky ones who survived, like me. So, of course, thanking a veteran on any day is a great idea, but the 4th of July is not designed for thanking veterans. The 4th of July is called Independence Day for a reason. The 4th of July marks the day when our founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence. Duh, Independence Day. And no, it doesn't have anything to do with the Constitution or the Bill of Rights either. All of that came quite a bit later, after we won our independence from the British. In the American Revolutionary War, now, of course, some people think it's just another reason to get drunk and eat barbecue. Not that there's anything wrong with that, as Jerry Seinfeld said so eloquently. And some businesses think that the 4th of July is a good reason to have a sale of some kind. So the commercialization of the day is pretty irritating, too. No, the 4th of July is a holiday set aside to remind us and to teach our children about the importance of that moment in 1776 when our forefathers were brave enough to face down the most powerful military in the world at the time and sign a piece of paper that was tantamount to their own death warrants because it was treasonous to the British crown, crazy King George. But there can be no doubt about one thing. That simple act, that incredibly courageous act by America's founding fathers, was earth-shattering. Literally. No, I mean it. When the rest of the world saw what America did to the nearly invincible British, the most powerful country on earth at the time, it inspired revolutionary movements in other countries that upended monarchies that had ruled for hundreds of years. The signing of the Declaration of Independence was truly earth-shattering, because it changed the course of history all over the globe. And there are a lot of countries out there that resent the U.S. because we're so proud of how we changed the world in less than 200 years. But the fact of the matter is, we've got a lot to be proud of. And it all started with those brave men who signed their own death warrants, our founding fathers. In fact, I've often wondered what our founding fathers would think if they could see this country today. You know, its size, its power on the world stage. The founding fathers just wanted to be able to decide their own destiny. But those 13 little upstart colonies turned around and became the most powerful and influential country in the world. And if you're one of those people who thinks that that's all hogwash, just ask the citizens of Europe in the 1940s. Without the U.S., they'd all be speaking German today. But anyway, back to my original point. I've often wondered what our founding fathers would think of this country today. For instance, how would they react to riding 70 miles an hour in an automobile or flying at 30,000 feet in the air in an airliner? And what would they think of the way Washington, D.C. operates today? Would they approve of the way we've interpreted the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? Or would they cluck their tongues and wag their fingers in our faces? Look, I'm not saying I know how they'd feel about those things, unlike every politician in Washington, both liberal and conservative. You know, to hear them talk, they all know exactly what the Founding Fathers intended when they wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And the real irony is, none of those people seem to agree on what the Founding Fathers intended, do they? Frankly, I don't think anybody knows exactly what the Founding Fathers intended to say in any of those documents. And any politician who insists he or she does is full of horse apples in my book. All I know for sure is they were unbelievably brave people who were just trying to do the right thing. And of course they made mistakes, just like all the rest of us make mistakes, but at least they were trying to do the right thing. That's more than I can say for a lot of people in Washington these days. So this holiday, this 4th of July, Independence Day, this is a day when we should thank the good Lord in heaven that our forefathers were brave people who tried to do the right thing. And we should also thank God that we're blessed to live in the country they created, the greatest country on earth. And I know, it's popular for some people to say that all countries are equally great. But if that's true, then please explain to me why 144,000 immigrants risked their lives last month trying to get here illegally. Sorry. No, on second thought, I'm not sorry. This is the greatest country on earth, and I'm not only proud to be an American, I'm grateful to God to be an American. You know, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams had great differences, politically speaking, but they died within hours of each other on the same day, 4th of July, oddly enough, and they died best friends. In their old age, they put aside their political differences for the betterment of the country. And I don't see a lot of that in America anymore. I'm not at all sure that our founding fathers would approve of that. Well, there, rant over. After all, this is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, so it's time to turn our attention to a more important topic, food. Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't it somehow seem downright unpatriotic to do anything other than grill in the backyard for the 4th of July? I can't help but wonder what our founding fathers would think if they could see us slow smoking a brisket or a rack of ribs with barbecue sauce, or maybe grilling steaks and burgers with potato salad and coleslaw. And I wonder what they would eat on the 4th of July. So I looked it up. Google is your friend. And there's a very good reason why turkey and dressing is a traditional Thanksgiving feast. There were a lot of wild turkeys in America back then, and our founding fathers ate turkey on a regular basis. But I was also amazed to discover that Thomas Jefferson was most likely America's first official foodie. Well, he was an avid gardener. He grew his own fruits and vegetables right there on his estate in Monticello. And he was endlessly curious about cuisine and cooking techniques. As a matter of fact, one of his relatives even wrote one of the very first cookbooks in American history called The Virginia Housewife. And it contained her recipe for a side dish we now call French green beans. Ever eat that on Thanksgiving? Yeah. And if that's not enough, James Madison's wife, Dolly, introduced ice cream to America. Yeah, she served it at her husband's inaugural ball in 1812. Now, there's something even Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi can agree upon. Ice cream! In fact, one of my fondest memories of 4th of July from my childhood centers around homemade ice cream. My grandfather was an absolute Jedi warrior when it came to homemade ice cream, but he refused to buy one of those motor-driven churners. He'd make me crank the handle for what seemed like hours at the time, but Lord have mercy, it was the best ice cream in the entire world. I mean, why do you think Bluebell spends so much time and money advertising that it's homemade? So thank you for thanking me for being a veteran, even though that's not what the holiday is about. And stop looking for sales specials. This weekend is about the brave men and women who declared their independence and changed the world. Oh yeah, and food. It's about food. Because, let's face it, you can work up a pretty powerful appetite declaring your independence.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint, and hardware all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Please welcome back our favorite backyard chef and our executive producer on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, Greg Berlocker. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing great, Randy. How are you doing?
Doing well. You know, the last time you were on the show, we promised we were going to try to host you more often, so this is an effort to do just that. Let's start off by following up on a line of questioning that we pursued during your last appearance. So how many new outdoor cookers have you bought since the last time you were on the show?
Oh, I've actually given a couple away to my kids. So I've thinned it out a little bit. I haven't actually bought anything new, but I do rotate. So that way it gives me... gives me a little variety.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just couldn't resist asking that because I know among those of us who like to cook outdoors, accumulating outdoor cookers is something of an addiction. And the first step toward solving our problem is to admit that we have one.
Well, I mean, you can't really have enough cooking gear. So the my son has gotten really pretty good at sous vide cooking. Have you heard of sous vide?
Oh, yes. We had a guy on the show. Oh, this has been quite a while ago, who has a restaurant in which that's the only way he prepares the food.
I got, and the whole reverse sear kind of concept of cooking low and slow and then doing a sear at the very last minute, that's really caught on.
And frankly, one of the reasons why we have Greg on the show so often is just exactly what he was explaining there. A lot of our listeners tell us they enjoy amateur chefs more than professional chefs, because at-home chefs don't just automatically assume that we understand every step in the process of cooking a dish like the pros sometimes do. So they often go into greater detail about prepping ingredients and grills. Talk about that reverse sear process that you mentioned.
Well, the whole idea is to get your meat evenly cooked all the way through to the temperature you want, whether it's medium rare, medium well, et cetera, and do that. You can do that much more easily in a controlled environment like an oven, a sous vide cooker, things like that, even a smoker. And a smoker, you know, is only going to get up to about 400 degrees. So it'll cook the meat, but it doesn't give you that great char that you look for when you look at the steak. It's just kind of a unappetizing gray-brown sort of color. And so what you need is a big blast of heat at the end to caramelize everything and give it that brown appearance. So you can do that by either using a torch, or you can actually put it under the broiler, or if you want, then put it on coals, which are my favorite things to do, you know, on a charcoal grill, and just you kind of flash sear it just to give it that nice outside appearance.
You know, Rick Alsbaugh mentioned this in relation to tomahawk ribeyes, and he swears by it. However, Greg's passion for all things cooking has driven him to take several culinary classes over the years. Give us a quick rundown of the different courses that you've enrolled in over the years, Greg.
Gosh, Rudy Lechner, who was the owner and founder of Rudy Lechner's restaurant there near the corner of Westheimer and Gessner, was absolutely one of my favorites. Rudy had this delightful Austrian accent, and I really learned a lot. It was a hands-on course where everybody got to wash their hands and mix things and actually do real cooking. Other courses, gosh, I've enjoyed Sur La Table. Sally gave me a ravioli course, and I've always wanted to make homemade raviolis. So that was fun. Probably the most recent that we've done that was just really outstanding. One of the reasons why it was international, we went to Bali for a holiday with our son and daughter-in-law, and we stayed at Gajah Villas there in Bali. And I told my son I would like to learn how to do Balinesian seafood. There's some great seafood restaurants there on Jimbaran Bay where you literally pick out either fresh seafood or alive seafood and say, I want that one, that one, that one, and that one. And then they cook it over coconut husk. It's a fire that puts out an immense amount of smoke. And before they prepare the seafood, they coat it with this chili paste called sambal. And sambal, gosh, there's 30, 40 different types of sambals made in Indonesia. And while we were at Gajah Village there in Seminyak in Bali, they brought in a whole staff, an executive chef and two assistants, and we did nothing but sambals for an afternoon, and they prepared us a dinner. It was just fabulous. So I've actually gone down to the Asian market now and acquired all of those ingredients, and I make my own sambal now. So you take the big 6 to 9 count shrimp from Boyd's and peel them and put on this chili paste and then grill them. I got to tell you, it is outstanding.
Didn't you also take a class from Sylvia Casares at Sylvia's Enchilada Kitchen?
Yes, that was fun simply because, well, not because of the wonderful learning experience. Sylvia is a great teacher. But Sylvia and I go way back, and she didn't realize I was in the class, and everybody held up her hand of when they started eating at their restaurant. And I held up my hand and I said, "We go back to Rosenberg." And she went, "Wow," that was her very first restaurant. And she's just a tremendous restaurateur. That's such hard work. And she does, it's hard in the restaurant business because people expect a certain flavor. You know, and to get that time after time after time, day after day, that's just, it takes a really a hard amount of work. The one thing that I remember from that class, we were talking, we learned about fajitas. There's an inside cut and an outside cut. So there's two different types of fajitas on the cow, and that restaurants get all of the first dibs, but because of the popularity of fajitas, the price on this meat, which used to not be a real high quality thing, people kind of looked down at fajitas as a cheaper cut 30 years ago. For 4 cases of meat, I believe they said they paid $1,200.
What?
And she said, "We don't make any money on the fajitas, but we have it because people expect us to have it on the menu. It's just gotten that expensive."
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then they've got to trim it. And, you know, so you're not getting all the meat that you paid for because you have fat and other things that you trim off the meat. And then one other class, my very first trip to Brennan's was 1973. And my wife and I dated, and we've been to anniversaries. We've been to Brennan's to celebrate after baptisms, and it's great. So back when Randy Evans was the executive chef, his sous chef, and later on the sommelier was Chris Shepherd, who, congratulations to Chris, who was just awarded, I guess would be the proper term, by Rob Report as the world's greatest chef.
Wow.
So Chris has been on the show and just a tremendous guy. And congratulations to him and his fiance Lindsay Brown. And they just do it right. So when Chris was at Brennan's here in Houston, he and Randy put on several cooking schools, and it was just our classes. And I can just still hear the banter between the two. And it was just, you know, that's what you want, is you want to learn. And these guys, you could just tell, they just, everything about them was all about culinary and great ingredients. All the good food started with really high quality ingredients. So just really good stuff. I love each and every one of those classes.
Greg Berlocker, he's our executive producer here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, plus our favorite foodie. And we had a post on our Facebook page this past week featuring a picture I sent you of the grill gun. Let's talk about starting fires next, shall we?
I can do it.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We never seem to run out of things to talk about with our executive producer here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. It's Greg Berlocker, who just also happens to be our favorite foodie because he is a truly dedicated backyard chef. But Greg also owns and operates his own tech company, Cellular and Satellite. Tell us what you offer, Greg.
Gosh, thanks, Randy. Cellular and Satellite provides broadband and internet connectivity to businesses. And we've been super busy right now. Hurricane season is on us, and there hasn't been much talk in the news. One of the things that people have discovered, and it's a quite popular product we have, is called a mobile broadband kit. It's a hard shell case, about the size of a briefcase, and it includes a wireless router and amplifier inside, and all of the power supplies and cords and cables and antennas are stored inside. So it's something you can store in a closet. You can even put it in your car, and it could be used to back up an entire office via the cell phone connection. So it would be great for retailers. In case you have a retail store and you have 10 locations, you could buy one of them. And in case something happens, a fire could disrupt your internet connection, or a backhoe might cut a cable. In case maybe a storm comes along, this is a quick way for any sort of business to have a backup connection. And, you know, downtime costs money. If you have an office full of employees and all of a sudden they can't do business on the internet, that's a big loss for a day or two or even a week. So having a backup for your internet is a wise investment. We can set up wireless routers where you could set up your fiber connection as your primary, and then you could fail over to either cellular or to satellite as a backup. We've been quite busy with that. So, and then of course our wireless data plans, we have a lot of executives, and the Internet of Things is a business application where people are starting to monitor a wide variety of things. The technology has come way down in price. Sensors have become very small and cost-effective. So now a lot of people in the energy industry, they can measure levels in tanks, voltages, flow rates, pressures. And instead of putting a person in the truck and a truck roll and going out in the middle of nowhere, we can, you know, bring all of that data back via a wireless connection for typically $20, $30 a month. So that's going great guns as well. And then, of course, the cell phone boosters have really taken off. Anybody that has a metal building in an industrial area of a town knows how difficult it is to make a cell phone call from a metal building. It just, the signals bounce around inside and never go in or out. And we have cell phone boosters that we can bring that outside signal inside your building and make it easier to make phone calls. So that's keeping us hopping.
So tell us how to get in touch with you at cellular and satellite.
Ah, thank you. It's you can reach us by phone at 832-551-1000. Or if you type the word cellularandsatellite.com, you can check us out on the web.
And if you have trouble with either one of those two things, you really need Greg's help. Now, we're both in the digital communications industry, and these days there's a lot of talk about data mining. What's your take on that controversy, Greg?
I'm not a big fan. I think we as a country have lost our privacy. I'm on social media, and I tend to watch what I post. However, when you sign up for these services, you sign an agreement that says they can use all of this data. I'm just not a big fan. So for things that I want to keep private, I just don't post on social media. So I wish there were a way to protect some of this from the powers that be.
Well, speaking of posting on social media, we had a picture that I sent you of the grill gun on our social media this past week. So talk to us about the grill gun. What do you know about it?
I was not aware of it. I've actually used my own grill gun, if you will. I have several different styles of bottles of propane, and you can buy a blowtorch at one of the big box stores, and I've been using that, but I like the functionality of the grill gun. I like the design. It comes in two different links, I guess, of the barrel. So if you want to get in close and sear a steak, or a longer barrel, if you want to light some wood or charcoal, it's a great way to do that. So I like it, actually, and it comes with a stand, so you can actually set the right angle and then let the propane torch do its job.
I think it looks like a pretty deadly weapon. I think there needs to be a 30-day waiting period, maybe a concealed carry permit. It looks pretty deadly to me, and you can check it out on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show. But let's talk just a minute about how to start a fire. Arson aside, what about you? How do you start charcoal briquettes?
Oh, golly. You know, my favorite go-to being a Boy Scout is the old charcoal chimney. And it's got a false bottom in the, think of a gallon can, and there's a bottom about two-thirds of the way down. You fill the tube up full of charcoal, and then you grab a couple of sheet and a half of newspaper, and you wad that up, and when you light it, the heat from the fire will start a very small ember glowing in the charcoal that you've put in, and as time allows, the heat continues going straight up, and after 10 minutes, usually you have a handful of briquettes that are glowing pretty well, and another 5 minutes, and usually then you can just dump the lit charcoal out in your grill. My biggest problem, Randy, is that we don't take the newspaper anymore, so I don't have anything to light with. So I came across a solution. We buy bottles of wine at the local grocery, and they always put those in these brown paper bags. Mm-hmm. And rather than throw them all away, I said, I wonder if those would work. I've tried pressing printer paper from the printer into service before, and that's not really a good choice. It doesn't burn very long. And whereas the brown paper bags, and also the orange and white bags from one of my favorite burger places work well too. So rather than throw all that stuff away, you can use it to light your charcoal with.
Wow, that's great. Before we run out of time altogether, the actual topic on today's show is, what did you cook for the 4th of July? So what did you and Sally do?
We had Thanksgiving. Remember, I don't know if you'll remember this, but last Thanksgiving we were talking about what great values turkeys were. And, you know, so many stores have loss leader programs where if you come in and buy a basket of groceries, you can buy a turkey for 29 cents or something. So you can go buy a 15-pound turkey for about $5.
Wow.
And they last a long time in the freezer. So this is what I did, is I thawed it out for a couple of days and put it on the pit and smoked it up. And I got to tell you, it was good.
Well, what kind of sides did you serve with that turkey?
Well, we didn't go all the way traditional, so we didn't do the dressing and the yams and all of that. It was we had the traditional baked beans and potato salads. So it was very good though. So smoked turkey is just fantastic. It's one of my favorites.
Well, forgive me for falling back into my old Hudson and Harrigan mindset, but I guess we're just two old all-American turkeys on the radio.
Gobble, gobble.
Randy Hames and Greg Berlocker, our executive producer here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. And, by the way, he just happens to be our favorite foodie. Thanks for all your time this morning, Greg, and happy 4th of July weekend to both you and Sally.
Thanks so much, Randy. Great talking to you. Talk soon.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at Allspaw's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspaw's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspaw's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspaw's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspaw's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaws.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspaw's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
On this red, white, and blue holiday weekend, here's a guy who loves this country just as much as I do. He's my on-air partner from the Hudson and Harrigan Show, Fred Olson. Happy 4th of July, my brother.
Well, there you go again, talking about this great country. I know Nancy and I the other night were just thinking about the red, the white, and the bella. Why am I doing that? I don't know. Too much coffee this morning.
I think your Ronald Reagan was one of the best I ever heard.
Well, you know, I chose his second term to start doing it. I went, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
Could have been doing this for 4 years. You know, I did have one time I was contacted by PBS. They were doing a series called The Presidents. And I get a call from a local studio there in Houston, said, can you do Ronald Reagan? I said, yeah. I said, well, would you come over here? And what had happened is his faculties had slipped a little bit. And one of the things that they'd recorded of him from the past or whatever to do that series, and all I had to do was say, good night and God bless America. And they dubbed me into him for that series.
Wow.
That one line, and I was so proud to be able to do that, and sad that he had lost that ability to, I guess, to go back and do that or whatever they wanted done. But
so this was after he had left office?
Yes.
Wow.
After he left office. Anyway, so that's my little tale to tell.
Yeah, and you've never told me that tale before. In all the years we were on the radio together, you never told me that story.
Never thought about it. Just, you know, just kind of go and go, Will, good night, and God bless America. And they dubbed it into his voice, his lips, and that was all I remember.
Have you ever seen the show that they used it on?
No.
Wow.
I think it was a series called The President, something like that. But, you know, it's what you do as a voice guy. You go in and go, oh, here's a script, do this, and then you leave.
Yeah, and you never see it.
So, you don't know where it's going to run.
Well, tell me, from your childhood, did your family fly the flag on major U.S. holidays, like Independence Day?
You know, as far as fly the flag, no. I don't remember there ever a flag going up. I think they were very proud Americans. You know, obviously, the families had been through the war, brothers and sons and uncles and dads had been through World War II and some of Korea. So, yeah, I think that even though my family was pretty liberal, and I'm not, they were, you know, in the 50s, you know, it was about America.
Yeah.
It really was. It was a different time, as we know.
Yeah, you know, liberal conservative doesn't have anything to do with patriotism, after all.
I hope not.
Do you have a flag out at Rattlesnake Ranch?
Actually, we do. We have a flagpole that sits, and we used to have it so it was easy to see, and then, you know, the trees grew over time. And we did a lot of trees we saved, and now we have to, you know, lean around to see the flagpole from the house. But a friend of ours just sent us a new flag for 4th of July. And I do have in my possession a flag from the USS Enzio that was used in the battle of against Saddam Hussein. And it was a young man who was aboard that USS Enzio, and he sent me a flag from that. And what happens, they have to change it every day because of all the fuel from the rockets that send off. Really deface the flag, and they tear it up. So he said, and I still have it packed away, and if I know when I open it up, I can still smell that the powder and the sulfur or whatever it is used to ignite it. So,
well, you know, as a result of moving all over the country in radio, I have often been struck by the difference in the way national holidays are celebrated from one part of the country to the other. For instance, the 4th of July is just not quite the same in San Francisco as it is in Texas. And you've lived in a lot of different parts of the country, too. So what's your take on that?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of our celebrations that really need to be celebrated, whether it's Memorial Day, whether it's the 4th of July, have become sales.
Yeah.
I'll get 30 things today from all these different places going, hey, why don't you, you know, it's a great deal for 4th of July. And I'm going, that's not what the idea was. it was to, you know, take into account, you know, our history. But, yeah, I think different parts of the country, I know in smaller town America, you see much more. You'll see streets in, like, Columbus, Texas, they'll be lined with flags down one of the main thoroughfares. And you don't see that in a lot of America anymore. But in small-town America, it's still alive and kicking, so there's hope.
You and I hosted some pretty amazing 4th of July celebrations over the years when we were Hudson and Harrigan. One that sticks out in my mind is a Merle Haggard concert that was outdoors, no less. Merle had this really nice air-conditioned tour bus. The rest of us were sweating to the oldies.
Man, it was so brutally hot that I remember.
Yeah.
And this woman came up and gave a note, would you give this to Merle? I said, I'm not going to get on that bus. She's not going to let me on that bus.
They're not going to let me on there. Are you kidding me?
They're sitting in there maybe having a cocktail, getting ready for this incredible. It wasn't a very huge turnout. I remember it was so brutally hot. Was that in spring or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, in spring Texas somewhere.
Yep.
And I'll never forget that day. It was like, ladies and gentlemen, Merle Haggard, we're gone.
Yeah, and we got in the car and drove home.
But now you look back on how we got to introduce him and see him, and now, boy, I miss those classics.
Yeah, me too.
I miss that. And there's nothing wrong with today's country. I mean, there's some great writing, but they all sound alike to me. Nobody sounds like Merle.
Yeah, I agree.
Or Lefty or George or any of them. They all kind of, they're good. They're really good, but they sound kind of like the same guy.
Yeah. I also remember us hosting a 4th of July celebration here in Fort Bend County one year. If memory serves me, it was Oyster Creek Park, and it was so hot that day, I almost jumped in the lake.
You jumped in the synthetic blue lake.
Yes, the man-made lake.
Hey, it's better than no lake at all.
Well, it's time to jump into this 4th of July celebration.
All right.
So, what did you and Bev do for the 4th of July? Did you go to somebody else's house?
No, actually, hang around here, and I want to tell you something to try, and it sounds so anti-ribs and brisket and hot dogs and hamburger kind of thing, but if you have a smoker or a pellet smoker, I invite you to try a smoked meatloaf.
Mmm!
It sounds pretty pedestrian. It sounds like, yeah, meatloaf in the oven. No. Get some apple wood, get a good recipe, like, you know, throw in some onions, some breadcrumbs, and whatever you do, tomato sauce on it. I use chipotle barbecue sauce on it. And make sure it's good and moist when you put it in, and smoke that up to, I think, 160 internal temperature, or 155, and pull it off, let it cook some more. We just sat there with forks and went, we didn't even need a plate. We just started eating it. It was so good, so different. You know, you think, well, smoked brisket and chicken and, but just give it a shot. Look up a recipe for it. Try it. If you got a smoker, get a grill mat, which helps.
Okay, talk about the grill mat. Tell us what that is and what it does.
Well, it's like a Teflon woven kind of mat. It looks like a placemat you use at a table, but you put it on a smoker grill. It allows all the stuff to come through, but it keeps the mess, a lot of the mess from falling through into...
Now, Fred, wait a minute. You're talking about a mat that you put on top of the grill grate?
Yeah, not a direct flame. I'm talking about smoking offset or a pellet grill.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to put it over direct flame. It will eat it up.
But it is on the grate.
Yeah, you put it right on the grill itself, not on direct flame.
Mm-hmm.
But with a pellet grill, of course, everything is offset, and it's just more or less smoking it, right?
Right.
And it just makes cleanup a lot easier. It just does.
So what about sides? What kind of side dishes did you have to go with the meatloaf?
Coleslaw.
Ah.
Love it.
Do you make it yourself?
Well, yeah, Bev gets, you can go buy already pre-sliced cabbage.
Hmm.
She does her magic with the mayo and the yogurt, whatever she puts into it to keep it from being way too over unhealthy. And we have that, and then, you know, some potato salad for feeling like it, and beans. Got to have some beans.
Well, talk about potato salad for a minute. How does she make her potato salad?
Really basic, pretty simple. Mayo, a little bit of mustard. Gosh, I'll have to ask her, but she keeps it kind of more al dente than mashed. My mother used to make it till it was like, you know, was like goo, which is okay. It was good tasting goo. But I kind of like when you can actually, the potatoes are still kind of intact.
Do you like hot potato salad or cold potato salad?
I like them both. German potato salad is excellent, too. Bacon in it and a little bit of grease and... Oh, man, now you're really getting me going here.
And beans. We got to talk about the beans. How do you make your beans?
Well, she is actually will do the pinto beans, get them, and cook them herself. We don't usually do canned beans, unless canned peas, maybe. She found some cream peas recently, and one of my butter beans, which are just like little limas.
Right.
They're so good. But just slow cook them. Add what you want, some pork neck, bacon. Got to have some pork neck or bacon in that, and a little bit of onion. Ooh.
Well, that takes time, and we don't have any.
Oh.
Because the show is over, and it's time for leftovers and fireworks. Leftover fireworks. Next week, I'll tell you how long it takes me to get the bandages off, okay?
Well, I have one thing to say.
Okay.
Good night, and God bless America.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up.